This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Open from Borneo on BFM 89.9.
BFM's Malaysia Day special is presented by Masing.
This is our Malaysia Day special, and we're calling it Open from Borneo. Malaysia, as we know today, would have never existed without the inclusion of Sabah and Sarawak on the 16th of September 1963. These two states from the east have always set an example of unity among different races and Mother Nature's love to our planet. So what is it like building a business in the east and taking that journey to the west? In this series, we'll be featuring four entrepreneurs that have taken those steps not only within the Malaysian region but also around the world. And on our first episode, we're featuring Eileen Pon and Fabian Tan of Left and Right from Sarawak.
Hi, my name is Eileen Pon. I'm the co-founder of Left and Right.
Hi, my name is Fabian Tan and I'm the co-founder of Left and Right.
And tell me a little bit about Left and Right and also like how you guys met. Let's start from the beginning.
For both of us, which is myself and Fabian, we met each other during high school time. Of course, that's not the time where we immediately start the business, but we know each other as a friend, and we went to the same university. And it's actually during that time that we are looking for a way to support our studies financially. And then how we started is very different from what we are doing now, which is the fine jewelry line. Previously, it's quite basic, I would say, in terms of like the jewelry design-wise, it's more artisanal, it's more raw craftsmanship-wise as well. So it started really simple, stringing things up and then doing wire work, selling our pieces piece by piece to support ourselves. And from there, we slowly venture into fine jewellery, and there's where we are now.
But why jewellery? Why such a unique space that you decided to, let's start a business in doing jewellery?
I think jewellery to us carries a certain meaning. Yeah, it's like a piece whereby someone would get for themselves so that they can actually pass it on to the next generation. So I think that's where the meaning actually comes in for us.
But do you have like any previous experiences? Like, you know, any sort of family, relative, members, friends who were already doing something? Because it's skills, it's talent that really requires when, you know, you look at some of the craftsmanship for these really fine pieces of jewelry, you know, from the bigger brands or the artisanal ones. It seems, you know, not any Tom, Dick and Harry can actually, you know, start their own jewelry company, right? So surely it requires some knowledge into, you know, how to actually make a piece of jewelry.
I think in terms of like inheritance wise, not so, because like we really do not actually have a direct family members that knows how to craft a jewelry piece. But I think it all started where myself, I grew up together with my grandparents, and both of them, they are very good storyteller. My grandpa in particular, not only that he tells story, and then during the Brooke era and everything, he also collect antique pieces as well. So I think that's the relevance, how I see story and objects, especially finely craft objects. It actually, it lasts beyond a lifetime, and then it becomes a piece for someone to tell their family value, for someone to share their story. So that actually, it set a really strong impact and a very deep root for Left and Right. And then that's how we would say the entire concept of the business is built on. It's basically my grandpa as a storyteller, as an antique collector, and as a really fine craft collector. So that's how everything started.
And I guess people can relate to that storytelling if they were to visit your Instagram and they would, you know, see each photo actually comes with a caption that has some story behind that piece itself. But let's talk about the name, Left and Right. That's a very unique name. It's a very interesting name for a jewelry company.
It is.
Why Left and Right? Why L&R?
Actually, it came from when we first started this business, we were still studying. So technically, we were studying mechanical engineering.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mechanical engineers decided to start a jewelry company.
Yes.
Okay. That's correct. So it's like from the morning to the evening, we'll be doing like really technical stuff, right? And then nighttime, we'll be doing our creative work, which is the design of the jewelry. So it's like balancing the technical side and the creative side. So it's based on the left brain and the right brain.
Right.
Yeah. So the way we always see it is that we are trying to put the...
sensibility into creativity.
Yeah.
Sensibility into creativity.
Yeah.
So that's again like a storytelling way of presenting your company. In
you can actually say so. I think like having the story, that's amazing. But to ties into the aesthetic of the jewelry piece itself is something that we can imagine. But how about a piece that will last through a lifetime? How about a piece that's also practical for everyday wear? So I think that's how we also look into for left and right, and the brand name itself, left and right, is basically to put sensibility into creativity to immortalize like all this real life story.
Mm. So it's been around 4 or 5 years now since the company was founded. Tell me about that first piece, or when you got, was it like a client that came up to you? Was it something that you designed? How did that first piece came about?
I would say first piece is not really commission, but first piece is basically a piece that we created based on our story. As you remember, because like 5 years ago, how we started is very different from now. It's a wire work piece. And interestingly, the name is called A New Beginning. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also one of the piece that we created to tell the story that from here on, we are going to embark on a different journey. As you have mentioned, mechanical engineer to jewelry designer and jewelry crafter as well. So that piece involves a lot of waves. And then that particular piece itself is trying to convey a message that this journey is not going to be a really quiet or a very common journey that we would be able to imagine. But riding on the wave, we need to follow. Like how the current is, how the wave is. So that piece itself is one of the very first piece that Left and Right created, and it's actually to tell our own story.
Mm. Do each piece have its own name? Like the first piece, New Beginning. Do each piece you... And how does that process happen? Like, do you have a story and then you find, you know, materials to work with that story? Or do you have the materials and then you find a story that complements the material? How does that work?
I think we'll always listen to the stories first. So we'll get the stories, and based on the stories, we'll actually incorporate the different elements into the design. Sometimes we do incorporate different materials as well. So the material sourcing comes actually after listening to the stories.
Yeah.
So how long is the process if one were to approach you and, you know, tell the story about how they, you know, met their significant other and talked about the whole process of, you know, going through the challenges they had? I presume that's the stories that they would share with you. How do you then go out and make a piece that, you know, shows that the challenges and the love that, you know, these two individuals would have on one another? Because you would want this piece to be handed down to different generations, which then has the more meaningful power within, right? So it's a lot of burden on your shoulders. How do you go through that process?
Definitely one thing is that we don't have our set of expectation when we meet any client, because everyone's story would be completely different. Mm. And what we can do is really to give our 100% attention and really to listen. And you're right, all the stories are very different. And to create a piece that truly to celebrate that particular moment, maybe highs and lows of life, or in general to honor their story, it's quite pressured. But at the same time, I think it's really after paying attention to what they have to share, really giving the time for them to share their story and for us to really listen. There's always essence of the story that really struck our heart. And that's why we would have the piece to be designed to reflect that particular element. So it might be moments that they spend together, or the values that they want to share, or the message they want the piece to carry. Mm-hmm. So from there, when we do the design, we'll look into the form, the structure, the element. The gemstone that we would use is everything is to reflect back to their story. So the entire process, I would say it takes about 6 to 8 months.
Wow.
That's on in general. Certain project may take slightly a longer time if the sourcing is extremely challenging or like the gemstone they are looking for is really, really rare. So that might take slightly longer, but in general, it's about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. And going back to 5 years ago when you started the company, and it started in Kuching, and you still are based in Kuching for now, and there are plans for in the future, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But starting in Kuching, how difficult was that, or you know, how beneficial was it starting in Kuching, because it's so unique? There are not many businesses that would start up in you know, Sabah or Sarawak. And for you to do something that's very niche, which is jewelry making, artisanal jewelry craftsmanship, that itself is very unique. Talk us through that journey when you started, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
I think 4 or 5 years ago when we first started, we didn't really, in a way, we didn't really plan out for too far ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we just really love what we were doing. Right. That's what just was passion. In our mind. Yes, yeah. Just passion. So when we first started off, of course, there were certain challenges. Say, for example, the lack of ready talents. Mm. Yeah, because we had to do everything ourselves. So from the design part to the meeting of the clients part to the marketing part. So basically, we're just running the whole business with just both of us. So it was a bit, in a way, straining to do everything by ourselves. But it really makes us feel what we do was really worthwhile. Sarawak is a very wonderful place. We grew up there, and it's a very multicultural place, estate, where everyone, you can just approach them, and you can just sit down there and just talk to them. We were based in one of the older streets last time. Yeah, we can just walk up to those uncles and aunties, and then they'll be so willing to just tell us their story. Mm. So I think that was also one of the upside of being in Sarawak. Mm. Yeah.
But these uncle and aunties will not be your clients or customers. So, you know, how was it for you in terms of finding, you know, clients that then you want to hear their story, you know, and it's, I'm sure it's difficult to have the connection when you talk to clients who are maybe miles away instead of having a face-to-face conversation. So that differs. So how do you go through that challenge in still trying to, you know, find new clients, but yet still try to have that connection with them that you would have face-to-face? Because basing in Sarawak, I'm sure it's tough, right? With that challenge in mind, how was it, you know, getting the word out for you guys?
I think, like, for us, we would say that it's fortunate enough, like in terms of social media platform nowadays, it's very established. So we don't really see that to be a huge challenge anymore. Definitely starting off, which is 5 years ago, is slightly challenging, like this accessibility to, like, for example, the established jewelry industry at the same time as well as the clientele as well. That's really challenging. But that's why we put a lot of focus to share the story, not only through physical means, but also through social media. Like Instagram, Facebook, and our website has been serving as a really important platform to not only to showcase our work as a portfolio, but also to share the story. As every piece is being crafted, we would also share the backstory, how would our client approach us, what's the story that inspired the piece, and also joining exhibition that is at different parts of either Malaysia or different parts of the world as well. That really helps us to be known by people in Kuching, by people in Malaysia, or even people outside of Malaysia as well. So I think works like this that does help to build up the familiarity to our service in terms of storytelling, in terms of crafting fine jewelry pieces. So I would say it's always the social media platform itself that really helps us to be able to get our voice out in this retail space.
And how soon after you realize that you are also now attracting people from not just in Malaysia, but people from different parts of the world, Australia and so on and so forth?
We would say that actually quite earlier on in the industry itself, or in the business itself, we already have clients that's outside of Malaysia, mainly because in 2015, we actually represented Malaysia in Washington, D.C. for a competition. And the competition is Global Student Entrepreneurship Competition, GSEA, organized by EO. And right after that competition, we have been covered by Huffington Post, United States.
Wow.
Yeah, so that actually opens up the door for people that's outside of Malaysia, as far as United States, Netherlands, Germany, UK, and Australia, has been approaching us to customize pieces and to be sent to them.
Little did they know, it's actually a small little company based in Kuching.
Yes. Yep.
I'm speaking to Eileen Pon and Fabian Tan of Left and Right, and you're listening to our Open from Borneo Malaysia Day special. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to this BFM Malaysia Day special presented by Musing.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Malaysia Day special is presented by Musing.
Welcome back to our Malaysia Day series special, aptly called Open from Borneo. And in this series, we're showcasing four entrepreneurs from the East that have taken the huge steps forwards in entrepreneurship world to venture around the region and to the world. And on this episode, we're speaking to Eileen Pon and Fabian Tan of Left and Right from Sarawak. Eileen and Fabian, early on, we spoke about how you started the company, being in Kuching, the challenges and opportunities that you've had from the beginning. So let's talk about expansion plans now, because Fabian, at the start, you said you never really had plans for this to be like a real business. And when did the realization kick in that you thought to yourselves, hang on a minute, like we actually have a legitimate business going on, and then, you know, expanding the business as well?
I think the point of realization was, I think, end of last year, where we actually started moving into fine jewelries. So things really got very serious very quick. Because for fine jewelries, it's basically we need to use materials that are actually quite high price point. Mm. So basically we sat down and have a lot of discussion of how we should be actually expanding. Because when we first started, it was just two of us, right? So we needed people to help us with our social media site. We needed people to help us with our website, because we don't know programming for websites. So we needed someone to help us run a website as well. And from there, we figured out we really need to start building up a team that can actually help us with our day-to-day day-to-day work, so that we can actually focus on what we are good at, which is the storytelling part. Yes.
And how embedded is, when you go out and find these talents, that they also kind of speak the same language that you do? Because your core of your business is still, at the end, being able to tell the story for the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
How important is that?
I would say that, like, in terms of finding or like building the team that speaks the same language, for us, sometimes we do actually had the opportunity to meet them first, and then we reach out for them to them first. Some of our team members actually reach out to us first, and then we do actually have a sit down session, really talk to them. And I think the key question is always to ask them, if you were to describe Left and Right as a person, how would you describe the brand? And interestingly, our key members, even though some of them never met each other, or they are one of our key members based in Singapore, a few in Kuching, they describe it the exact same way.
Mm, yeah, that's interesting.
So that's one of the way that we really can spot. We are speaking the same language. And then we would get into like the more scalable key item, like how we are looking into like certain progress, or how are we going to measure certain key milestones as well. So that we would see would be able to work in a very interesting dynamic.
Mm. So now part of your plan is also to expand here and have like a base here in KL.
Yes.
What kind of differences do you foresee? Because you spend a lot of time here in KL as well. Now, I guess you frequently visit Kuala Lumpur from Kuching. You do it probably, once every month or so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
So you're quite familiar with the KL scene, and now that you feel that it's time to probably have like a base here, what are you expecting from, you know, KL?
In terms of expectation, I would say that definitely different geographical location, different places, even though it's the same country, we do actually have a very different pace. We do see that growing up in Kuching and starting the business in Kuching, everything really does get really personal, in the sense of, like, when we sit down with our client, when we talk about their piece, it's not just about the design part, but they are vulnerable and honest enough to share with us the most intimate moment that they have. And I wouldn't say that it's going to be extremely different here in KL, but it might be something that is not very common. Yeah, and nonetheless, the pace in KL is very fast. And there's so many people, there's so many elements around at one time. So actually to sit down to really talk about their most intimate moment or the most raw emotion that ones have, this can be somewhat a bit different. However, because like for the previous appointments that we had with our clients, we don't really see that that's going to be the biggest challenge, because we are really grateful. They really sat down, they really shared with us their raw emotion, and that's how their piece get encapsulated into a wearable art.
Let's, so mindset wise, you know, Kuching has a very different pace of life. KL is more frantic and, you know, it's very routine based. What would your advice be in terms of, you know, having that kind of peaceful, chilled lifestyle in Kuching, and now you're coming to KL? What's the advice you are telling yourself that you still, that you don't get caught up with the frantic life that, you know, KL seems to have?
I think one thing, I would not say advice to everyone, but it's something that I would always remind myself, even now that we always have to fly to different cities as well, is always to stay true to yourself, always be real. When it's real emotion, it means that there's happy moment, there's sad moment, and there's all the different kind of emotion that I would slowly need to learn how to embrace, and also to be able to accept myself as a person. And from there on, like meeting everyone in life, in daily life, may it be Grab driver, may it be our client, may it be just anyone, it's just our true self meeting the person, and as a human being to another human being.
Fabian, what about you? When you wake up in the morning, what keeps you grounded and motivated to, you know?
Actually, I'm a person that really likes the balance. I like the peaceful part of what I do, and I like the, in a way, frantic part. Because I travel a lot. I travel a lot for this business. So every other week, I'm always in Singapore or here in KL. So I enjoy the big city vibe. And then I love how peaceful and quiet I can be in Kuching. So I think it's for me to strive between the balance of these two things that actually keeps me, in a way, sane.
And the food in Kuching is really good as well, right?
Thank you.
It is Malaysia Day. We got to celebrate. And, you know, I honestly swear it is, you know, the best food, I think, you know, in throughout Malaysia. Sarawak really does have some amazing food. Let's talk about the best piece that you've done, like the story behind it. I'm sure every other piece is unique on its own, and, you know, every other piece is probably, you know, has a story of itself. What has there any piece that really stood out for you, that really caught your attention, and you were just, you know, just so inspired by that story to then, you know, look at each other and go like, you know, this business means a lot to not just us, but to, it seems to, like, you know, even our clients, right? So
I think there's a lot of the piece itself, it really does carries a certain weight in our heart. Yesterday, I just had an appointment with a couple. I think one of the moment that really touched my heart, and like what you say, it really just feel that what we are doing is very worthwhile. It's when I asked them, maybe share with me, what do you think about each other? And then about the things that you want to say to each other. So they actually hold hands. And then the guy actually looked into his wife's eyes and say that, like, she's the light of my life. And then it's just, there's so many things that I can say about her, but it's just little things like this. And having her here, it's just really precious. And then I think that is the moment that we get to really feel the emotion. And then they also shared with us, they don't usually say things like this to each other, but it's just time where we ask all these crucial questions, like, what's the story behind this piece? And then they get to share their emotion. So that time, it's the time that really reinforce our belief in what we are doing. But if you were to point out one particular piece, it's really hard to pinpoint in terms of design.
Yeah.
But story-wise, there's one that is really has been having the heaviest weight in my heart, I would say. I think the piece was crafted about 3 years ago. So it's a really confident man that came to us. And then when we asked him about his story, he said, no, I don't have anything to share. I just want a nice piece to celebrate our anniversary. And then I asked him, maybe you can share with me about your wife. So he kept quiet for a while and he started to tear up. And he said that my wife had helped me to go through twice in my life that's so close to bankruptcy. So I almost bankrupt. And then it's really, really tough during that time. And I remember my kid would point out at a certain toy says, Papa, I want this. And I don't know what to answer because we can't afford that. And that time my wife would tell the kid that it's okay, we don't need it now. We can get it in some other day or sometime in future. So he see his wife as someone that's so strong, that someone that's willing to go through all the hardship together with him. And then for his piece, we crafted a bamboo. So because of bamboo, no matter how strong the wind or the rain is, it would bend and it would stand back up again.
Wow.
So that particular piece reminds me of how real relationship is. It's not just about romance, about roses and everything. It's actually about two people that is willing to go through all the highs and lows in life.
Mm. How do you keep yourself in check when you hear these kind of stories? Because at the end of the day, you have a duty. Again, I can't imagine being in your shoes because the responsibilities of when someone were to share a story like this and is hoping to see the output or the design of it to represent and replicate that emotions. How do you keep yourself in check with, you know, when they share these stories? How difficult was all this for you guys?
I think at least we have each other.
Yeah.
And then Fabian is the complete opposite of me. When I do with a lot of the design part, the emotional part, translating those emotion into the piece, the crafting or like communication with craftsmen, it's actually heavily relying on Fabian.
Yeah, because sometimes when we hear the story, there's a lot of like design thoughts will be flowing through her mind, and then she'll try to actually translate all those design, take it out of her mind, and then put it onto the paper or yeah, or now the iPad technically. Then I'll be the one that have to look through it and then to make sure that everything is feasible, it can be actually crafted.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some designs that looks very nice, but we have to make sure that every piece would actually last.
Yeah.
So every piece does not break when they wear it or when they carry heavy objects. Yeah.
So what's your vision or your dreams for LNR?
I think for Left and Right, we do start to understand that it has now grown beyond just a jewelry brand. And then Left and Right now, because of different platforms, and we are so grateful to have platforms like this, and also people who supported us, our clients, and also our audience that log into like social media every day to look into like the story that we have shared. I think we start to realize that we have a voice. And then this voice, it does not just belong to us. It belongs to people who believe in us. People who actually, like some of them have their piece crafted by us, or some is just like believe in the cause of what we are doing. And then we want this voice to be able to represent them as well, to let everyone know that your story matters and then you actually matter to this world. So we do see how Left and Right has to keep growing. Beyond just geographical wise, beyond just Kuching, beyond just Malaysia, and actually venture into international platforms, so we would be able to be the voice of even more people.
And you've also now expanded to not just the bespoke stuff, but you're also now having your ready to wear.
Yes. Yep.
And what's that process been like, you know, in deciding that, you know, now you're... Because bespoke really comes with the story. Mm. Each piece is unique, is different. Ready-to-wear, how do you still have that element of, you know, it is a story that we're trying to share, but it's ready-to-wear?
Mm-hmm. I think for the ready-to-wear, it revolves more around our story. So it's actually we telling our, say, for example, our daily lives or how we have gone through certain challenges, and then we will try to capture that story into our ready-to-wear. Mm. So I think that's where the design concept actually comes from.
And there will be a lot of similarities, I guess, from, you know, your stories. You would be able to connect to people who probably share similar stories as
well,
right?
We would say so. In fact, like bespoke pieces or ready-to-wear pieces, all the stories we tend to see that it resonates with different people. And sometimes what is really heartwarming is we even get emails and messages from people who read the story and say that, I thought I'm the only one, but actually there's someone there going through the same thing. It just makes me feel like I'm not alone going through this journey. So we want ready-to-wear to be able to serve as that purpose.
So where can people find out more about you guys and read the stories of the pieces that you create and stuff? You know, shoot us the social media links.
Sure. For now, we are really active on Instagram. So our link is LNR Stories. So N is the letter N. We do actually have a Facebook page, which is Left and Right. Website-wise, it's www.lnr.my. So that's where we are looking into sharing a more comprehensive stories as well, which is also beyond serving as the site you'll be able to look at our pieces. That would be where the story would be.
Elaine, Fabian, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And that was episode one of our Malaysia Day special with Eileen Pon and Fabian Tan of Left and Right in Sarawak. And if you would like to listen more of our Malaysia Day special, you can head over to bfm.my or download our app and search for Open from Borneo. BFM 89.9.
BFM's Malaysia Day special is presented by Musing. Reinvent spaces. Enhance life.
You've been listening to Open from Borneo on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.